as a second coronavirus wave hits Europe, how Germany's economy has been faring.
So far, the effect of the pandemic hasn't really been felt acutely because of that enormous sort of lifeline that the government has thrown to people affected.
And the 737 MAX has been ungrounded. Why Boeing's stock didn't take off. Plus, how the pandemic has jump-started entrepreneurship. It's Wednesday, November 18th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. Pfizer says it plans to ask health regulators to authorize its experimental COVID-19 vaccine within days. If approved, that would put it on track to go into distribution by the end of the year. Pfizer and its partner BioNTech say the vaccine was 95% effective in its pivotal study, putting it on par with the vaccines for shingles and measles. The company also says researchers haven't found any serious safety issues, and the vaccine appeared to be well tolerated. The Food and Drug Administration has approved the first fully at-home COVID-19 test. Lucera's test uses nasal swabs and can be self-administered, with results in up to 30 minutes. Initial supplies will be limited. The company says the test will cost $50 and would be available with a doctor's prescription. Students in New York City's public school system, the largest in the nation, will switch to fully remote learning starting tomorrow. The decision comes after the city's rate of COVID-19 cases over a 7-day average rose above the 3% threshold. It's unclear how long schools will remain closed. U.S. stocks slipped today as coronavirus cases surged and parts of the country imposed more restrictions. The Dow and the S&P 500 each fell 1.2%. The Nasdaq was down 0.8%, while health insurers were among the worst performing. U.S. regulators have cleared Boeing's 737 MAX for flight. As we reported this morning, the fleet has been grounded since March of 2019 after two fatal crashes that killed 346 people. Despite news of the ungrounding, Boeing's stock moved little, ultimately ending the day down more than 3%. Our aerospace and defense reporter Doug Cameron explains why.
Boeing investors and customers waited 2 years for the MAX to come back or be cleared to fly, so one decision was never going to unleash a big jump in the stock. The shares are already up 45% this past month because of hopes that positive vaccine trials will actually help improve airline demand that's collapsed this year and help it improve next year. So that's taken a big bite out of any other potential gain. There's also still a big overhang in terms of when the return of the MAX generates any cash for Boeing. The planes that have been delivered have already been paid for, so when they start flying, that's not new money coming in the door.
Despite little demand for air travel during the pandemic, Doug says the return of the MAX is still positive news for airlines.
Airlines need cash and they need revenue. That's what they've been sorely lacking. In terms of cash, Boeing may actually have to step up and finance some of those new deliveries because airlines can't find the money elsewhere. So that could be cash coming in the door from Boeing to the airlines. In terms of revenue, the MAX, for all the uncertainty as to whether passengers will or will not choose to board the plane, it's a much more efficient plane than what they're already operating. So that's going to be more profitable for the airlines, and for the revenue they do have, help more of it pass on to the bottom line.
MAX jets still aren't expected to be in widespread use in the U.S. until next year. And Target reported a more than 20% jump in sales today for a second straight quarter. Demand for household goods and home office supplies helped drive the increase. Big box stores like Target, Walmart, Home Depot, and Lowe's have done well during the pandemic as consumers bought up in-demand products like food and home improvement supplies. Coming up after the break, why Germany is seeing some pushback on COVID-19 lockdowns despite increased stimulus measures. Among European countries, Germany was seen for many months as a success story in combating the coronavirus. But in October, the country saw a surge in cases, leading the government to impose a month-long partial lockdown a few weeks ago. Now, there's been some talk of extending the measures. That's been met with some opposition. Thousands of protesters gathered in Berlin today, many of them unmasked in violation of new mask laws, and police broke up the crowd with water cannons. Joining me now is our Berlin correspondent, Boyan Penchevsky. Hi, Boyan. Thanks for being here.
Hey, pleasure to be here as always.
So, Boyan, we saw anti-mask protesters in Berlin today, but it was a pretty small group. What is the overall feeling among Germans about the measures in place, and what's driving the opposition?
Today was a couple of thousands at most, and it wasn't just anti-mask. It was sort of anti-everything. It was a very mixed group of, you know, far right, far left, then some conspiracy theorists. And then there were also some people who are unhappy with the whole situation. What's driving the discontent here is probably what's driving the discontent everywhere. People are tired. The pandemic has been taking a high toll on society, on people. And unfortunately, the German government is forced to introduce restrictive measures because the infection rates have been going up. And therefore, we have a situation here where bars and restaurants are closed, where we have social distancing, we have masking orders for certain public areas. And now they're introducing new measures or wanting to introduce new measures in schools. So basically, people are sick and tired of that. A lot of people do not approve of some of the measures. And you see that frustration is sort of from time to time spilling out in these protests. But it's, however, important to note that the vast majority of people here in Germany, and I think probably across the European continent, are actually supporting the governmental measures to curb contagion. And we're only talking about a very small, tiny minority, which is also quite vocal, that goes out on the streets and sort of clashes with police and so on. It is a fringe occurrence.
Boyan, what power does the federal government in Germany have to mandate things like mask wearing and other safety measures like social distancing?
Well, basically, Germany is much like the United States. It's composed of 16 states which have sort of large sovereignty. They have autonomy to decide on matters, for example, related to healthcare. So the central government, the federal government of Chancellor Angela Merkel, is not actually able to impose many things. They have to act in concert with the state governments, and it's up to the state governments ultimately to impose these rules. So the masking orders, for example, that's always introduced by the states. Angela Merkel can't tell anyone what to do, essentially. In that sense, there are similarities to the United States.
So here in the U.S., Congress is still debating another round of stimulus. What has Germany's government done to help keep businesses there afloat, and what financial support is in place for citizens?
The German government has had a huge stimulus package around the time of the first wave of the pandemic, and they had supplemented that over the last few months, and they added an extra sort of small package in the second wave. So basically, it's only for the month of November alone, they put aside 10 billion euros to sort of ameliorate the effect of the measures on businesses for the month of November. They are spending an incredible amount of resources, of money, of support for businesses and for individual citizens. Big corporations get bailouts, small businesses get grants and cheap loans. And individuals, you know, freelance workers who lose their job or their income because of the measures, they also get either one-off grants or more lasting support and can access cheap loans as well. So basically, it's a broad support program. It's a broad bailout across the board for the whole of society. And so far, it has worked well. We also have here in this country a program which basically allows for furloughed workers to keep more than two-thirds of their income, even though they are furloughed. So basically, they're staying at home, they're not working, they're not able to work, but the state compensates for their income directly with the employers. So far, the effect of the pandemic hasn't really been felt acutely because of that enormous sort of lifeline that the government has thrown to people affected.
So generally, would you say the government subsidies and loans have been enough to keep the economy running?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. The economy has done better than expected, actually, in the third quarter. Is, however, affected and will be affected in the months to come. But so far, the government has done a pretty good job at providing liquidity where necessary. So we're not feeling the acute consequences of this yet. And the furlough program has been extended, actually, now in the fall. It will last for another year until next December. So it will take quite a while before this sort of economic consequences begin to bite in Germany. And the reason for that is that because basically Germany has a lot of liquidity. They've been known as a country that follows austere policies in terms of fiscal policy, and they have accumulated a substantial sort of wealth that they are now expending to try and help people through the crisis.
So we're all anxiously awaiting a vaccine, and one of the front runners is actually being developed by Pfizer in collaboration with German company BioNTech. We've heard they could actually be seeking FDA approval within days. Boyan, how is Germany gearing up for distribution and mass vaccinations?
Yes, Germany has the advantage of BioNTech, the company that actually invented the vaccine, being on its territory. So some of the production actually takes place in Germany, and that's a bonus, obviously, for the Germans when they will roll out vaccination program. What they have agreed so far is to, they are actually setting up now vaccination centers, because they decided the best way to proceed with mass vaccination is to sort of hire large venues. We're talking about sports halls, event halls, concert halls, former airport halls. You know, two airports have been shut down in Berlin, for example, and parts of these two airports will be used for mass vaccination. So the centers will be equipped with special cooling gear, with special refrigerators, because these vaccines need to be kept at a very low temperature. And then there will be a protocol for masses of people to come in safely without any danger of becoming infected and get vaccinated. It's quite a logistical treat to organize that, but the wheels have been set in motion weeks ago already. And by the 15th of December, these centers should be up and running, basically. Of course, the FDA may approve the vaccine in the United States quicker. The European Union, of which Germany is a member, has its own regulatory agency, and they would need to issue a separate approval, separate authorization. So essentially, German authorities will be waiting for that before they are allowed to start vaccinating people.
Finally, the German government was really stressing about wanting to get the country reopened by Christmas. Is this just a cultural thing, or are there financial incentives for doing that as well?
Oh, certainly. I mean, Christmas is a huge thing in Europe, but especially in Germany, they have these wonderful Christmas markets that are normally open throughout the Advent period. And that's a huge thing in Germany. And people really love their Christmas markets, and they love their sort of Christmas shopping like everywhere else. There is an economic factor here. December is a month where retailers, restaurants, bars, hotels make great revenue. They do great business. So, you know, it's a very, very important month in the German calendar, and people are anxious about what will happen. Christmas is a, you know, family time. Christmas is a time for these sort of short travels to local tourist resorts. And certainly it's a time where they visit the Christmas markets. But certainly the government is racing to sort of push the infection numbers down in order to be able to reopen society a little bit more in time for Christmas.
All right. Wall Street Journal Berlin correspondent Boyan Panchevsky. Boyan, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks. My pleasure.
And finally, service workers, hairstylists, personal trainers, waiters have been especially hard hit from state lockdown orders. Some have used the crisis to get creative and venture into entrepreneurship. According to Census Bureau data, self-employment applications were up 32% in the first 9 months of 2020 compared to the same time period in 2019. Wall Street Journal economic reporter Kim McCrail says many new entrepreneurs might not go back to their regular jobs, even when the economy picks up.
What's interesting, I think, right now is that a lot of the people I spoke with really do see this as a permanent shift for themselves. A fitness trainer I spoke with who left the gym that he was employed at, and the gym shut down early in the pandemic. It reopened. He went back briefly, and then he left and he struck out on his own. And now he's training people outside in parks, in basements. He's planning to offer some virtual training that he's targeting specifically at people who are now working from home. And he's making more money than he did before.
And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.